Okay, turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3 tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, first of all, we have to stop there and think about that phrase, last days. Now, we recognize from the standpoint of history and Jewish history that the coming of Christ is called the last days. And, of course, we know in the Bible, Hebrews 1, 2, it says, "Hath in these last days God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." So from a technical standpoint, yes, ever since the coming of the Lord, from the standpoint of biblical history, from creation, these are the last days. But in 2 Timothy 3, when it says, "In the last days perilous times shall come," it's really has a particular focus on the last days. Maybe you'd say the last days of the last days. That would be a better way to understand it. And, of course, you take it in the context of 2 Timothy chapter 4, where he says, verse 3, "For the time will come." Talking about a future time. Okay? Talking about a future time. And so to say that 2 Timothy 3 is referring to this whole period of time that started with the coming of Christ, there's a general truth there, but there's a particular truth that is trying to be taught. And so I think that that is important. The idea, perilous times shall come, is the idea that, yes, there were many perilous times in Christian history. Certainly the persecution under the Romans, that was a very perilous time. Certainly under the Roman persecution, the millions that were slain under Romanism, those were perilous times. There have been a multitude of perilous seasons in Christian history. But the focus really here is really that the end of this age will be a very perilous, dangerous time. Now, as you think about that, we have some descriptions of this perilous time. And we're going to look at them briefly. But notice it says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers." I mean, we could go a little bit on every one of those and just emphasize what it is saying. Lovers of their own selves. Selfishness. Covetous. Desire for things. Covetous. I want. You know, you think about it, you put it in the context of Revelation 18. And Revelation 18 is talking about worldwide economic system called Babylon. And the one world system of the last days is a religious, economic, and political system. And it's a one world system. And we see that is so much a part of the undercurrent of what is going on in the world today. So much of the undercurrent is this undercurrent of a one-world political system, one-world economic system, a one-world religious system. That's what's taking place. You know, but Revelation 18 is talking about that one-world economic system. And you know, this world is in love with prosperity. No matter what the cost. This world is in love with prosperity. This world is in love with material things. And boy, that's really important. That's one of the driving forces, you know. Give away America, give away its sovereignty. But man, just so we can have prosperity, doesn't matter. So, but we see some interesting statements. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. Wow. You know, when you think about blasphemy, you think about, obviously think about God. And you think about how we, you know, isn't it amazing that we live in a world that is so quick to blame God for anything. Now, there's a little book that's been passed around. can't remember the name of it, but it's a story of all sorts of unfortunate children. Mrs. Hames has that one. And you know, children that at a very early age lost both their parents. Children at a very early age lost their father and had all these misfortunes. And they became great, successful people in life. Remember that book, Mrs. Hame? What's the name of it? You know the book, okay? But you know, I read that little book and I thought, you know, if that took place today, these people would be bitter. These people would be bitter. You know, and that whole attitude of bitterness has to do with this whole realm of blaming God and speaking lightly of God. And we have it, obviously, in the whole university system, public education. We're not going to preach a whole sermon on all of this. Disobedient to parents. Unholy. I was talking to a fellow. This is really interesting. I was talking to a fellow who got saved. And has a lot of friends in a mega church. And he said, you know what I do? I show him 1 Peter 1:16. Be ye holy, for I am holy. He says, it is amazing the response of these people in the mega church to that verse. Because we're unholy. Unholy day. Old-fashioned holiness is out of vogue, isn't it? It's out. We have lots of things without natural affection. Wonder how does that fit in with inordinate affection? Does that fit in there? Inordinate affection? A natural affection certainly applies to abortion, but inordinate affection? Yeah, that fits there too, doesn't it? And like what it says here, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures. Oh, there's another good one in there. Verse 3, incontinent. Now, that's a word that you don't hear of much you know, except maybe in elderly situations. But you know what it means? Lacking self-control. Has there ever been a time in history where youth are characterized by a lack of self-control? Has there ever been a time that the world is full of addictions? I know that's not a biblical word. You know, spiritual bondage. Addictions, that's a secular psychological term. But, you know, gambling, gaming, playing, I mean, everywhere, addictions. It's amazing. And, you know, we're not talking about down and outers. We're not talking about down and outers. It's amazing how many people we meet at the university who are getting a degree in gaming. Yeah. They're getting a degree in gaming and they're going to spend the rest of their life programming games. You know, they have to have a whole people of addictive type people that will buy that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Nonetheless, to get a degree, spend $60,000, $100,000 to get a degree in gaming. It's amazing. Now, they need to be saved, but that's true. But notice, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Isn't that the cry of the world today, pleasure? That is the most important thing in life, is pleasure. Pleasure, 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 pleasure. It reminds me what it says about Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, that, you know, what was the characteristics of Sodom and Gomorrah? Idleness. Fullness of bread. All the ingredients of pleasure. Now, let me make a point here. These are speaking of a broad existence of these things over the face of the earth. That's really what it's talking about. They're talking about a broad existence, a sense of a universalism across the face of the earth that is going to characterize these perilous times. It's not going to be isolated. You know, got a rebel here. You know, got an addict over here. This is a general characteristic of society in the last days. Now, how can that be? How can that be? How can that be? I suppose we get some practical illustrations. TV, media, internet. You know, they have a story of a town in Canada that for years they had no TVs. Because there weren't any antennas high enough to get across the mountains of this valley where this town was. And the divorce rate was almost nil, and the crime rate was almost nil, and kids had respect for their parents, and you know, all that stuff. Then there became satellites, and this town was so glad to get TV. Well, guess what? Then came rebellion. Then came divorce. Then came disobedience to parents. I mean, it just spread. They were really blessed to get TV. I'm sure that those are part of the factors. But, and that's true today. That's true today. You know, music is the medium of the world. And I think I just read somewhere. I read today that the North Korean dictator, they predict his fall through the invasion of the music of the West. What multitudes of things could never do, the wicked music of the West is going to permeate that society and bring an undoing. Now, it's good for that fellow to be deposed, but it talks about the power of music. But let me get to where I'm really getting. I think the real issue is, I've said it in a different way than before, it's in the air. It's in the air. It's a spiritual reality. It isn't merely children and parents and problems. There's more to it than that. There's more to misfortune in life and difficulties in life. It's more to it than that. There have been these situations for years, but we have not had what the Bible says will characterize these perilous times that will culminate in one great perilous time. That's what it's saying. Perilous times, yes, but there will be a culmination of one great perilous time. And I believe it's talking about the period before the immediate coming of the Lord. There's a spiritual influence. A spiritual, dark, demonic power. Now, you know what I find about demonic power? If people can't see it, they don't believe it. If they don't see it, they don't believe it. Most people don't ever put it in their calculation. Nonetheless, young people put it into their calculation. Think young people put it in their calculation? No. Young people think, oh, people always thought this way. Young people always responded this way. They think, well, young people always had this attitude about authority. No. No. Not true. Not true. Not true at all. You could talk to Mrs. Bird, and she can tell you, I can tell you when it stopped from the teacher being right to the student being right. It's not talking about public schools, is it? No. She can tell you when. I think the point to be made here, is that this is the revelation of God. Would you know these things if the Bible didn't say it? Would you know these things if the Bible didn't give it? No, this is the revelation of God. This is not the opinion of the Apostle Paul. This is not just some little thing to put in the Bible and think, oh, it's just there, no problem. No. You know, in the sovereign work of God, God has given us revelation that ought to alert us and inform us and challenge us very, very specifically. And of course, as Christians get closer to the world, and this culture envelops more and more Christians, this is going to be the characteristic of Christian homes. So I think there's a note to parents. Beware. Beware. This is not, you know, me versus the teacher. There's a bigger picture than this. It's in the air. I think the second note is, oh, we better be careful. We better be careful. There's a spiritual battle going on in this world. We better not be naive. We better not be flippant. We better not be careless. We ought to be alert. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion. If we are a young person, we ought to take triple notice. This is a message from God. Because youth in itself is inexperienced. And youth in itself does not have a historical perspective of life. And youth in itself thinks, oh, it's always what it's like this. Right? No. It wasn't always like this. I grew up in an unsaved home. I realized that was eons ago, in your opinion. But I grew up in an unsaved home. And you know what? I even went to a public high school. And you know the public high school that I went to? They had rules. Girls had to wear modest dresses. Students couldn't wear tennis shoes to school. They had to wear stockings. Boys had to wear buttoned shirts. They couldn't wear t-shirts. They had to wear real shoes. They couldn't wear tennis shoes. You did your homework. You didn't even think of not doing your homework. I mean, that was everybody. There was a little group of greasers, you know, that were kind of troublemakers, but and you know, that was life. I remember my dad says, if you get in trouble at school, you're in bigger trouble with me. That's what we were taught. You're in trouble at school, you're in bigger trouble with me. You see, things have changed. And you know what? It's not for the good. And it's not for the better. And just to illustrate that, I told this before. A year ago, we had a conversation at our dinner table. I'm going to guess it was like May 15th, May 1st. And Micah and Emily were talking about how that before Easter Sunday, a couple weeks before, picking up kids, they found out that these kids they were bringing on a bus didn't even know what Easter was. They thought it was the Easter Bunny. Now, I can imagine that taking place in Hungary because of communism. But here's in America. These kids didn't even know what Easter was about. And so they said, well, we're going to have to teach them what Easter is about. You know, the resurrection of Christ. And so they really know what Easter is about. And I was listening to this conversation and I looked at them. And I said, you know, when I was that age, everybody knew what Easter was about. And they looked at me. Not as though I came from Mars, but they looked at me a little bit strange. They couldn't imagine living in a world where every person that you knew in the world, I was an unsaved world, knew what Easter is about. We live in a different world, don't we? So don't think that the world's always been like this, young people. And probably going to say, the older the preacher, the more they're going to say, these are the perilous times. There's a certain spiritual power that is at work in the world today. There's a spiritual darkness in the world today. The isms of this age are invisible but real forces in the air. The Bible tells us that Jesus died to save us from this present evil age. Something very important to take note of, isn't it? Do we really pray? Do we really act? Do we really think that we are in a day in which Satan's powers are very much at work? Or are we so foolish to think that we are making our decisions based on good thinking, or are we being swept along on a tide of thinking of the last days? You know, when I think about these things, all I can say is, when the Bible describes that, I want to go the opposite way. You need to get a sense of direction. Every person needs to get a sense of direction. A sense of spiritual direction. And if you have the power of God in your life, you're going to go the opposite direction. But if you are just sucked into the world system, you're going to be oblivious to the direction of things and just going to be swept along and think blindly, foolishly, that you are making those decisions wisely and nobody can tell you what to do. Perilous times shall come. I believe that we're in them. I believe we're in them. And churches like this need to take note. Otherwise, they will not be in existence. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the great truth of the Word of God tonight. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit use it in our lives, in our church. May, Lord, we know, Lord, this is a spiritual message. And we know that only you can make it real in a heart. Otherwise, it's just words. It's just empty speaking. It means nothing. We pray that, Lord, that you would move in our hearts. that even your word would make a difference tonight in lives. Might your people get a hold of this truth. Stir their mind and their soul with it, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.